my friend.
Hello, my friend. How are you? Does this feel weird?
Yeah.
So this is the fifth episode of the Movie Dwee podcast, where we're talking about films, obviously, movies, TV show, and all that malarkey with one of my very, very good friends.
Thank you.
She's a radio presenter. She is a qualified dancer. She's an excellent cook, but she knows absolutely bugger all about movies.
Yay!
So what a great booking for the podcast. Amy Vivian!
I'm here. Let's do this. Nothing about movies, but we're on.
This could be a real quick podcast. This could be more of a GIF than a podcast.
Yeah, it'll be worth it. Trust me. I'll give you something.
That sounded like a threat.
It was slightly a threat.
You're right, my little angel.
Hey.
Does this feel weird, you being on the sort of like other side of the mic, not in control?
It feels weird, like, being interviewed, because normally I'm the interviewer or the person that's doing the podcasting. So, okay, yeah.
Well, if you want, I can just sit back and you just do all the hard work.
No, I've got my relaxed stance. I've got my pajamas on.
And you've obviously been a big fan of the past four episodes of the Movie Dwee podcast, right? What's been your favourite bit of it so far?
Well, I really enjoyed listening to not last week's episode, the week before.
Yeah.
Because this week is this week, if that makes sense. With the girl who you had on.
I thought you was going to bluff your way throughout this whole thing. No, you actually did listen. You're such a good friend.
I know. So you've got to get those podcast listens up, guys. Hit subscribe. He's my good friend, Dan.
Oh my God, I should pay you for this.
Yeah.
I won't. I'm very broke and spend it all on this studio.
It's true, right?
It all sounds like a sad joke, but it's all very true.
Very true.
But also, I want to apologise because you've been waiting around the streets of London for 2 hours for this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You didn't even blink during that. You was quite aggressive,
no,
angry.
That's the kind of thing that good friends do.
And actually, I've lied. I think I said this was the fifth episode. This is definitely the fourth episode.
So you do only have four good friends.
Yeah, I was just making stuff up
there. Okay.
This is the fourth episode and I've already buggered up the intro. Yes. So it's only going to go downhill from here.
And didn't you have your friend Simon on?
Simon,
yeah,
Liv, Benedict, Liv, and now you.
Yeah, love that.
What were you doing on the streets of London while he was waiting for me?
Well, there's a pub opposite work, so, you know, I may have...
You're hammered.
No, I just had AG&T just to relax a little bit into the interview.
What, on your own?
Obviously not. With a couple of our good friends.
Legend.
Obviously.
What, and you said to them, no, I'm going to go do a little...
I said, listen, I've got to be professional. I can only have one.
I heard you say professional there. The gin's kicking in. And that is Amy drinking. I'll let the listeners decide.
I said to them, guys, I've got Dan's podcast and it's really important that we do a good job for him.
How many people are you with, like three or four?
Just the one.
So again, if you advertise it to that one person, that's another listen. I will
Callum's
take it to
listening.
Callum ain't listening. He works for a radio show. He don't even listen to his own radio show.
Well,
let alone this podcast.
He might do when he's in the pub.
Oh God, no, I don't want to hear texts from him after 18 Guinnesses about this. Oh,
Callum reviewing this podcast that we're doing after he's had 18 Guinnesses, though, that would be funny.
It would also get a lot more listens than this in the first place, and I don't want the competition.
Okay, right, okay. Cute.
What's new in the world of you, Amy?
What is new in the world of Amy? Since when? This year?
Well, yeah, you're right. To a lot of people, you're new to the podcast, so we just got to go from birth.
Well, I was born in 1991. Yeah. I'm an only child. I've got two dogs. When I was 18, I went to uni. Then I came back from uni. I sold pat testing. Then I got a job on the radio in 2015 for Capital. Then I started doing Capital Afternoons in 2019. Now I walk around supermarkets doing shopping videos. I've got celiac disease. I like to tell everyone I'm gluten-free.
I was waiting now, for how long that would be.
And now I'm sat in this podcast studio. Was that all right?
You know what? That was actually pretty impressive. Yeah. We're 4 minutes into recording, nearly five, and it took you 5 minutes to say you got celiac disease.
That is the longest it's ever taken me to tell anyone.
Aside from your celiac disease,
we're
going to be talking about movies on the Movie Dwee podcast.
Oh, God. Wow. Are we? Oh, I'm not prepared.
Usually on this interview, I get people that are like very nice and airy-fairy, and they're very polite. You're like the opposite, which I love about you, because I know you take no shit.
I am nice, though.
You are the feistiest person I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't get out much.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you're like 3'2", so you're not a threat.
I give what I take.
Yeah.
But no messing around with me as well. I'm straight talking.
And like, you look lovely. I'm just going to keep bombarding you with compliments throughout this.
Just so I'm nice.
Yeah, please. I'll give you a little like back massage, whatever.
Hey, I'm lovely.
So I want to talk about film etiquette, because again, I think other people would be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Da, 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 da. But I know you'll speak the truth.
Mm.
You and your husband. Mm. Like, I can imagine when it comes to like what to watch on Netflix, there's probably a debate in the household.
Yeah.
Is he a pushover when it comes? Like, you're like, we're watching. It's like, yeah, okay.
Well, if I don't want to watch it, we're not watching it on the main TV. And if he wants to watch something, I tell him to go and sit in the bedroom.
Oh, no. Well, you got to sit little cross-legged on the bed to watch it. Oh.
Well, I'm like, I don't want to watch your golf shows. I don't see why I should have to watch that on my main TV. We only have a TV in the living room.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, we're not millionaires. We don't have three living rooms in our house. We just have a living room and a TV in the bedroom. So,
how often are the tables turned? How often does he say, you watch something in the bedroom?
No, he'd never tell me to watch something in the bedroom.
Yeah, I thought so.
No, he'd never tell me, but I am very nice and I do say, no, you put what on you want.
But you sort of jot it down like he owes me.
Yeah, if I'm making dinner, why don't you watch something on the TV that you want to watch? Or if I'm pottering around the house,
yeah.
Why don't you watch that show you wanted to watch? Because I don't want to sit down at that current moment. He thinks, oh, she's so lovely, isn't she?
Is he right now like fast forwarding through every show he's not allowed to watch? Like, he's, I've got the big TV!
Yeah, he's delighted I'm not coming home for a while because he's like, I can watch what I want! Big screen!
Well, I've got a few dilemmas from the world of cinema and I just want your opinion on it, okay?
Yeah.
Should we be allowed to eat loud foods in the cinema?
Oh, yeah. Eat what you want.
Oh, see, I'm complete opposite to you here.
Hear me out. Eat what you want in the cinema as long as there's a chair space apart.
So, wait, sorry. You're going to go with your husband to the cinema, but you'd rather sit away from him and eat popcorn.
He can sit next to me, but in a cinema chair, I have a real big problem with loud noises in my ear, like eating noises. Ew, gross.
Yes.
But in the cinema chairs, they're usually pretty big. With the sound of the cinema, you're not really hearing someone munching on those crisps, are you?
You are.
The noise that you're hearing is the rustling around at the bag.
Hate that.
Oh, do you?
Hate a rustle. Because it's the only form of, like, entertainment where you have to listen to it at all times.
You know, I know this is a movie podcast, so I'm about to say something quite controversial.
Uh-oh.
I actually really don't like going to the cinema.
Why have I booked you for this?
No, I do go, but I prefer watching the movies at home.
Hey, well, I suppose because you can pause it, you can go for a wee.
Because I tell you what, you're not pissing anyone off when you're rustling your bag of Doritos at home.
Well, you're not because Steve sat in a different room. You can rustle as much as you want and he won't hear a thing.
Yeah. No, I'm making snack bowls at home. When me and Steve have if we're watching a movie, I make us snack bowls, drinks. We've got it all ready to go. We're loaded up.
Oh, see, my jaw's like grinding there. Because just the munching and the chomping. Imagine like Titanic, the ship sinking. So I'll never let go, Jack. And all you go is, well, cool, whatever, I die. I'll jump in the water with you so I don't have to hear Amy chomping.
And I know your fiance, I don't want to be rude about her, but how loud is she eating?
She doesn't. She's very perfect in every single way. I love her to bits.
I've been at many dinners with her and I've never had this problem.
Well, I get the real her.
Oh, right, okay.
This will all be censored.
Yeah, I was going to say, bet you don't keep this bit in.
Well, she doesn't listen to him anyway. I can say whatever I want. She ain't listening.
Okay, so I'm saying, yeah, I think it's all right. Yeah, knock yourself out.
Well, then where do you stand on talking through a film? Because Alex, she'll always be like, I mean, the worst thing she does is about 18 minutes into like a 3-hour film, she'll go, I reckon he's the murderer. And I'm like, well, that's it. You've ruined the entire film for me. Even if she's wrong, I'm now watching it going, well, he's got to be the murderer. He's got to be.
This is why me and Alex are friends, isn't it? Because we have similar traits. It takes me a while to get through a movie. That's why I like watching it at home, because I like to be able to pause and be like, oh, by the way, did you know? Or if my phone goes off, I'm like, oh, Cousin Kim's just texted. It's all going off in the group. And he's like, we're watching a movie. Why are you telling me about what Cousin Kim's saying?
So you're happy to talk through it?
Well, if I'm the one talking,
do you see what I mean? He's like, no, I'm a lovely kind of gal. I'm so. And now you're like, if anyone talks to me, I'll put them in a headlock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But sometimes I do have to say, shh, shh, shh. Steve, come on now. Steve, stop talking. If I'm really into something, or I'll go like a dramatic, because I don't know if you don't know, I'm obviously not dramatic. I'm over dramatic. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, I've got to pause it now.
Oh, I do that all the time. Yeah. So I don't acknowledge it. I just like rewind it to a point and I just sit there like, okay, go on. What was it you wanted? Okay, yeah.
It's now 2024 PASAG when you just rewind the TV show and press pause and sit there silently like.
I like to go so far back that she goes, oh, we've already seen this bit. And I'm like, yeah, I know we did, but it's your fucking fault we're here. It's your fault.
It's true.
all to ask me if we've got any Ribena in the fridge or something.
Yeah, I feel like me and Steve are quite even. He does tell me to be quiet. He's like, come on, Ames, stop talking now.
The more we carry on, the more I'm like, shall I just live with Steve and you live with Alex?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it would be cute.
It would be good.
Is the cinema a good first date?
No.
I agree with you here.
No. You can't go to... Well, if you've gone for a drink before the cinema... and it's going badly, then it's a good date because then you don't have to talk to them anymore.
That explains why so many women took me to the cinema on the first date. Right? It makes sense.
And they're like, oh, I feel sorry for him, so can't let the date end after one gin. Better take him to the cinema.
So I'm like, yeah. Yay!
Yeah. Ooh, oh my God, it was amazing. We went to the cinema. Said no one ever.
Oh, God. What a personal attack.
Flashbacks. But yeah, I'm a big no.
You're not talking, you're just sitting. Parallel to each other, like it's horrible.
Also, I have a question, but I don't want to ask it in case it's one of your questions.
No, go on, hit me.
Do you think what movies you watch say a lot about you as a person?
I'm predominantly into like films that star like Channing Tatum and Brad Pitt, so maybe I'm just like a hunk like them as well. Maybe that's what it's saying about me.
Yeah, chick flicks you're into.
Oh, that's what I'm into. Yeah, I like
rom coms.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, so it's not because I look like Brad Pitt. No. It's because I fancy him.
Yeah, sorry to break that to you.
Yeah. What movies are you into? And I'll try and deduce if that's...
I love a war movie. And I feel like that's really deep. But I do.
But again, that's because I think you're watching it going, I could survive this. Yeah. I could kill everyone on that battlefield in a heartbeat.
I do think I'm like, I would be good. I also just love learning about war. Like, I think it's fascinating when you watch these. But they have to be true to life. Like... I mean, like, real, based on true.
Yeah, Star Wars, you're out.
Yeah, Star Wars, I'm out. Like, Dunkirk, based on a real life events.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan, based on real life events. What's the one with Daniel Craig? Defiance? Yeah, that, based on true life. And I find those films fascinating. Any true to life?
Yeah.
Real life, yeah.
Yeah.
Based on true events. Those movies get me.
Where do we stand on watching a series without your partner? So you're three episodes in. And Steve's gone, oh, I can't watch episode 4, I'm busy, da da da. And you've waited a week and you're like, come on.
Yeah, I'd probably watch it in secret.
No. And then what, pretend you've not seen it when you sit down again?
Yeah.
Right, let's do some acting. Okay, so I'm Steve.
Okay.
Oh, shall we watch episode 4 of, what are we watching, Prison Break?
Oh yeah, good idea.
Yeah, okay. Whoa, did you see that bit was happening?
Oh my God, that's so weird. Didn't think that was going to happen.
That's why you're a radio presenter.
That is why I do radio.
That's why we're talking about the movies and not starring
exactly.
in them.
Exactly.
Ah, good.
Good. I thought that was good.
How do you reckon he'll react when he inevitably hears this?
He probably knows. He probably just is like, oh, well, at least I'm watching it.
Brilliant. So you're both faking it in this weird relationship. Yeah. He knows,
in this
you
weird
know.
Relationship. That's my marriage.
I wouldn't mind. I haven't had the gin and I'm slagging it off.
I actually, if I was really into it, I would be like, sods, I've watched it. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like late to the party, we've just started Succession.
So have we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, actually, because we have really different like movie and TV tastes, like it's quite nice to sit down and watch something together. So if we find a film that we like,
That devastates Alex the most is I'll get into a series. So it's like an 8-part series. Say like White Lotus.
Yeah.
I love that. And then we got to about episode 6. And I was like, I just can't be arsed with it anymore. And she's like, we've literally got 2 episodes left.
Yeah.
Why
Finish
are we
it.
Not finishing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we still haven't. Like, we've done that. Succession, I just got through so many episodes. Like, I just don't really fancy watching it anymore.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't finish it. Because I'm like, no, I will get round to it at some point.
But then you're on to the next thing.
Well, I've moved on to The Bear now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen The Bear, by the way?
No. Steve watched The Bear without me.
See, now if you'd have let him watch it in the big TV.
He did watch it in the big TV without me.
Oh, he just chose.
He just went and watched it every time I was out. I said, oh, should we watch The Bear? He said, I've completed it. Have you, hon? Since when did that happen? Oh, when you've been out. Working late and stuff. I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll watch that on my own then.
I'm seeing like veins popping in your temples. No. Whoa.
It's nice that he has some things to do on his own, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that's the only thing he does when he's on his own. Watching TV, I'm sure of it. Well, I think you put the world to rights there with something.
Yeah.
Are there any hot topics, any debates that you think we need to hash out in the world of movies?
People standing up, not if you're in a premiere, fine.
Yeah.
If the movie's been out a week, and people that stand up and clap at the end of it, I'm not here for.
Oh, no, that gives me the ick. Premiere, because like the filmmakers are there in the room. Yeah, going, exactly. For that.
Like, clap away when Zendaya is in front of you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, that should be the rule of thumb at all times. If she's walking down the streets, you applaud her.
But in a movie that's been out a week and you've just gone to see it with your mum in the cinema, why are you clapping?
Can we book a cinema trip and I want to clap for you?
Just clap.
I just want to humiliate you.
Just clap.
What should we go see?
Let's go see the new Emily Blunt, Ryan Gosling movie.
Oh, Fall Guy. I really want to see that.
Yeah.
Because I'd say we're very much the Emily Blunt, Ryan Gosling.
Obviously, yeah. People look at us and that's what they think. You look like Ryan Gosling.
Thank you. And you are a female.
I'm
like
a woman.
Emily Blunt. Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah. I'd say we're the Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt of this room.
Yeah, for sure. And there's just the two of us in here.
But you can't knock it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll even take Emily Blunt. You could be Ryan.
Yeah, that's more like it.
You got the sort of facial hair, the stubble.
He does some stunts in that, doesn't he?
Can you do a stunt for me now?
Yeah.
I'll edit it in post. Yeah. Luckily, people hearing this go, fucking hell, she's amazing.
I would have roly-polied, but lack of movement. Look, I jumped off the ceiling then.
Whoa,
did you see that?
She brought her own fireworks in with her.
Hang on, let me just, I can breathe fire.
What are my eyebrows? Bloody hell. We really need to stop acting. We're not brilliant at this.
No, we're really not. Really
we're not.
Let's
brilliant.
Go back to being ourselves.
Yeah, thank you. And scene.
Relaxed pose back.
Ah, one thing that you have mentioned is your love of dogs.
Mm.
I imagine you watching a film, you care way, way, way more about the animals than you do the humans.
Okay, here's a fact about me.
Uh-oh.
I have only ever cried at one movie in my whole life.
Right.
I do not cry at movies.
Is it Marley and Me?
Oh. It gets me every time.
You've only ever cried at one movie.
I have been close to crying.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is about the dog. It really gets me.
Bear in mind, you said your favourite genre of film is war films.
Yeah.
The most bleakest moment in humanity.
Yeah.
And no, nothing.
No. There's lumps in the throat with the war films. But there's not full on tears.
But when the golden retriever pops its claws.
When that golden retriever goes outside and doesn't come back in. Oh, it's like someone switched on a well inside. Oh, God. Even thinking about it now.
I swear,
makes me emotional.
Get crying, it's a good thumbnail for the video. I can watch.
The thought of a dog.
Yeah.
The thought of dogs dying. Really. Oh.
I don't know. I thought this was a bit. You're genuinely close to crying.
I genuinely lose my mind over animals dying.
I don't know what to do. Do we have to get tissues?
No, I just can't cope. The thought of it. And now I've got an old dog, and every time it goes outside at night, in my head now, when she doesn't come in for a while, I think of every night I've been thinking of Marley and Me when she doesn't come in for a while. I think she's going to go out there and die. And it's awful. Marley and Me scarred me. And that was based on a true story.
Imagine if your dog goes out and that was the one day you invite like Owen Wilson around your house. You're like, oh, the signs are happening.
Yeah, because you know what? I've been meaning to invite Owen Wilson around for a while. It's on my to-do list. Better get on that.
I'm going to give you a ranking system.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you 5 dogs from the world of film and TV.
Oh, okay.
And you can only put one in each rank, okay?
Okay.
So the first one, we're going to go nice and easy. Gromit from Wallace and Gromit. Okay, so you've got S rank at the top. A, B, C, D.
Why is S at the top?
I think it means like super amazing or
super
something.
Super tier. Okay.
Or for now, we can call it, make it like Samey Sivian.
Okay,
it's named after you because you're the top.
Yeah, okay.
Bear in mind, he does a lot. He doesn't talk, but he does a lot.
C.
Yeah, quite
he's
low.
He's not like, I get it. It's Wallace and Gromit, but really, like, I need more from him. I need more.
What more do you want from him?
Well, let's see what other options you've got, and then I'll tell you what I want.
God, he's been some wonder
you
dogs
You did say
here.
I was feisty and I needed a lot.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you're getting me that clickbait
by
slagging off probably the best dog there is. Slinky Dog from Toy Story.
Oh, see? He does more than Gromit does.
That's
Slinky
mental
dog
to say.
Hangs out the window, his slink slings down. He can go above Gromit at B.
That is mental, by the way. Because all you said is he hung out of a window once and went, that's an... Gromit went to the moon.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've never watched Wallace and Gromit.
I could see it in your eyes. You went, yay, he's a dog.
Never watched Wallace and Gromit.
Well, how devastating for the dog you put in D.
Sorry. I really was close to putting Gromit in D because I'd never watched it. And now I might reorder.
We're going to put Toto from The Wizard of Oz.
Well, he can go D.
Yeah.
There's no offence to Toto, but he is a bit part.
I've never heard someone say the word Toto in such an aggressive... Toto! No offence to that mug, Toto!
Well, I'm sorry, but Toto ain't tapping his red paws together to get to the Wizard of Oz, is he?
Okay, I'm happy to put Toto in D.
D and Gromit is C and
Slinky Dog is B.
So
now, this one is an elite dog.
Oh, okay.
Doug from Up.
Oh, God. That's a good dog, but I don't know what dog's going to come up next.
It could be an awful
dog. What dog is going to come up next? Get it?
No. Oh, nice.
He's a good dog.
Oh, that was really a cute way of putting it. Oh, he's a good dog.
My name's Russell. I'm a wildlife explorer. He's going A because I don't want to leave the S. I'm hoping that something else is going to come up.
We've mentioned it.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I've left S for Marley.
You did very well.
Marley has got to be S.
Yeah.
What a dog.
Are you happy with that ranking?
Yeah. Marley and me is an S.
Yep.
Then you got Doug from Up as A. B is Slinky Dog. C is Gromit. And D is Toto. Yeah, I'm happy with that
order. I think that's a really strong list.
That's really good.
I mean, I might put Marley a few pegs lower just... Right, again, Gromit went to the moon, Marley died.
Marley, real dog, Gromit, animation.
You win this round, Amy Vivian.
Da-da.
Oh, that's it. You earned the movie, dude.
Okay,
that's
good.
Your title.
Ooh, I won.
Well, finally.
Finally.
We're going to talk about a little interview I did.
Oh, the little interview.
I did get to speak to Zachary Efron, which was very, very cool. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Have you seen The Iron Claw yet?
Not yet.
I think this might be another film you cry at.
Okay,
I think this might be the second film you cry at.
Okay.
It's a true life story, which I know you love.
Do love that.
About four brothers that they all sort of wrestle. They're like sort of trying to make it into the big league. And it's a true life story. All of the brothers, bar Zac Efron's character, they die for separate reasons.
Have you just spoiled the whole plot here?
It's a true life story.
But I didn't know I didn't know the story before, but I do now.
I was like, don't need to watch the movie. Titanic sank. You go, what? Did it?
Did it?
Since when?
Where is it?
I haven't seen that bloody movie. That's a shame. That's the second Titanic reference I've made in this podcast.
Yeah,
well, and the film hasn't been out for like
30 years.
Thinking
about Leo DiCaprio a lot.
I always think of Leonardo DiCaprio.
To be fair.
So what we're going to do now, we're just going to sit back. You're going to chill in your little pyjamas.
Yeah, I'm very
And we're just going to listen to me and Zac Efron.
Oh, right, okay, we're just going to listen to you and Zac.
Yeah, this is kind of like my nice ego trip. I get to listen to my voice for even longer.
I haven't got long, so I'm going to get all of the sort of fanboy out of my system right now. But I am in awe of every single frame of this movie. The performances, the script, everything is amazing. So thank you for taking the time to chat to me today, guys.
Thank you.
Rock and roll. Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. Yeah, okay. Now, professional journalist again. We're back in the room.
All right.
Zach, your performance in this is unbelievable. What has been the most difficult moment in your acting career to date? Is it learning these beautiful, intricate fight sequences for the Iron Claw, or is it mastering the choreography for Bet on It?
They're both challenging in different ways. Part of what was really fun about making this film and very special is the way that Sean constructs the shot process, the blocking that goes into it, and the wrestling, but also the emotional scenes in the film. There's just a way that he goes about creating this environment where everyone's kind of firing as a team. And it feels really special. So in all of that work and preparation, you just hit this rhythm where you feel like, I don't know, it becomes real. And that was very evident in this film, very unique.
But Sean, you really put the boys through their paces in this. I mean, having them wrestle in an authentically vintage ring, there's like no padding or anything. There must have been a few bumps and bruises and missing teeth.
Yeah, I mean, we did pretty well. I mean, I'm sure they were sore and all that, but no, we you know, we had some great wrestlers in the ring with them. And wrestling is such a respectful, caring sport, really. Yeah. The opponent, like, if you're, you know, you're in there with someone, your job is to take care of each other. And that was a really beautiful thing to discover. Everyone was just taking care of each other.
Of course, like, this isn't your first running with the world of wrestling. I mean, you've worked with The Rock on Baywatch, you're releasing Ricky Stanicky with John Cena, and you've even been photobombed by the greatest wrestler of all time, Nacho Libre, Jack Black. Now, did any of these pro wrestlers give you any advice before going into the ring?
No, not really about professional wrestling. At that, it was really fun, actually, to work with John Cena. We've been working together a lot recently. We've shot the movie directly after the Iron Claw. And just hearing his excitement and enthusiasm for the story and for how much Kevin and the Von Erichs, like, and Fritz influenced him and his career, it meant a lot to me that he was, like, even aware of it. So the fact that, you know, such elite wrestlers and the wrestling community was open to responding to it and now are responding to it, it's like, it just feels incredible.
I'm starting to think they didn't give you advice because they're intimidated by you. They know you could take them.
I don't know, man. Like Sean said this, it's like wrestling, once you're in it, it really is a, as much as it's combat, it's performance art, and these guys are really supportive of one another. Like, one of the things I can't say I took away from The Rock, John Cena, and Jack Black is that there was just, like, a lot of love and support in the air, you know, because I think everyone knows how hard it is, and you got to be a warrior to get through it. And I think that's just the kind of – it's just something you notice in people. And I noticed that in John and The Rock specifically.
Well, what I love about this film, Zach, is despite it being one of the best performances of the year, you weren't even allowed to watch wrestling as a child. You had to, like, sneak away and watch it without your parents knowing. And I find it so funny that the first day on set, your first scene that you're filming is you sneaking out of the house to go to a house party. I think there's a hidden sneak deep down inside you, Zach. So I want to know, what is the sneakiest bad boy story from your childhood?
Oh, man. There wasn't many. My dad was no Fritz Von Erich, but he was pretty strict on us growing up. We were pretty regimented, you know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not even really sure if there were any big ones. The big escape I made was probably once I left the house for Hollywood. I think I was only like 16 or something like that, and I had my own apartment in Hollywood, and was just just living in my car, taking meetings essentially for 2 years. That was probably the biggest sneak I made, because I never really went back home after that. but we're super close now.
Sean, naturally, the brotherhood between the cast in this film is so, so important. As the director, did you do anything in particular to make sure that Zach and the cast had such a strong bond?
As I was putting the cast together, I always think about that. I always think about how they're going to get along. And so after talking to Zach and then, you know, talked to Harris and I knew Jeremy and then found Stanley in casting, I just had a sense as I built the cast that they'd get along. And every time we brought someone in, I thought about how they'd, you know, play in the group. But you never really know. You know, you can think it's going to work and then it doesn't. But it really did. And I think on top of that, I would say that the fact that they had to get in the ring together really threw them in quickly together. You know, they had to train and be in there and be quite close physically. And then also we shot all of the ranch stuff for the first 2 weeks of the shoot. So there was a lot of downtime. There was a lot of sitting around that place, like shooting the dinner scenes, getting a sense of, you know, that togetherness as a family. And it was quite isolated, so there was nothing to do except sort of sit around together and get to know each other. So I think it was the combination of those things that really helped build that chemistry that you see.
Yeah, and total lack of ego on behalf of the whole cast. There was no drama or personalities at all. Everybody was there, to tell a beautiful story. And that kind of energy, when you get that group of people in the room, it's pretty special.
Well, guys, I'm gonna say it one more time, but my God, do I love this film so, so much. And I'm not even a wrestling fan. You've convinced me. I want to start wearing the tight lycra pants and fighting. I really want to get into it now. So thank you so much for bringing this film into my life. And thank you for chatting to me today, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, brother. Really
appreciate it. Oh, I like a salute.
Sorry, can I go?
I was just about to do a nice
sorry
intro into Zac Efron.
Got a real dry mouth today, you know.
Well, I suppose you've got a dry mouth because you've been absolutely hammered prior to this.
I wasn't.
Your agents can
you
listen
can't
back
say
to this
that.
And
yeah,
go,
my agent, oh! Like, for God's sake, Amy, why'd you let her on? There's no more podcasts for you.
Well, that was it. That was my little chat with Zac Efron. Did you enjoy every single second of it?
I loved that. I've got three different emotions for you.
Okay.
I'm very proud of you.
Cute.
Because you're really good at chatting to all of these blooming movie stars. I'm also very jealous that you got to chat to Zac Efron.
Understandable. Is your third emotion jealous that he got to chat to me?
Yeah. Third one, don't even know what it was because it's that. Yeah. Really upset that I wasn't in the Iron Claw and you weren't chatting to me about it.
Are you wanting to do another bit of acting? Is that what this is?
Can I please be a wrestler next time in the acting? Yeah.
I won't spoil what happens to your character because I don't want to ruin it for you.
No, I thought it was brilliant. It was really cool. I liked talking to him about High School Musical as well. Because the choreography chat is just funny. Like, I feel like they're very different vibes. Cheerleading choreo or wrestling choreo?
I thought you'd appreciate it as a professional dancer yourself.
Well, yeah, you've seen my moves on the dance floor. I do have a degree somehow.
Which is hilarious because I don't have a degree.
No.
I dropped out of uni and I've seen you in an all bar one dancing. God, she's passed.
How did she get a degree in dance?
And I got nothing.
No, yeah.
Well, that's our little podcast in a nutshell.
I love that. Thank you for having me on.
No, thank you for being here.
About movies and dogs.
Well, at least one of those topics you're knowledgeable on.
Yeah, dogs mainly.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me about anything gluten-free. I might go get myself a donut now.
What, you've forgotten you've got a gluten intolerance just because of haven't mentioned it?
Yeah, normally that's the first thing people ask me. You're gluten-free. Like, good, said it enough.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for telling me that you're possibly going to infect yourself with carbs later.
Thank you if you've listened to all however many minutes of this. Really appreciate it. Dan is awesome. He's one of my very good friends and also is epic at what he does, chatting to all of these movie stars. And he is going to be doing his own TV show about movies soon. Just you watch this space. And also, if you want to listen to me, I'm on the radio 1 till 4 p.m. on Capital Monday to Friday.
It got cut. That last little bit, we stopped recording. How annoying.